one of the reasons I enjoy trucking is there's a very good correlation between how good and how hard you work
to how much you make.
Hi, Dave here from Continental Express. Welcome to our podcast series where we're going to be sharing stories and tips from drivers and office staff.
Hi, it's Dave here. This podcast is going to be on strategic time management and trip planning. I got with me Aaron and
Brett.
So, Brett, you're in planning, right?
In planning,
How long have you been with Continental?
A little over 10 years now.
So have you been in planning the whole time?
No, I've been in dispatch, been with dedicated dispatch, OTR dispatch, multiple levels there.
Okay.
I've managed trailers at times and now in planning for going on 3 years.
So you should have a lot to add to this discussion today.
Yeah, I got some experience in the industry,
yeah,
you know, from the inside the office perspective for sure.
Very good, very good. And you, as another certified trainer, having trainees, this is a big topic when you're training somebody when they're brand new, and there's a lot to go over with somebody that doesn't have the experience out there on the road.
Oh yeah, like I said, logistics is just, it's one of those things that unfortunately, you can have as much intellectual knowledge as possible until you actually physically get it under your belt to realize all the extracurriculars that you never anticipated, such as, you know, shippers, receivers, accidents, constructions, I mean, you name it, there's so many things that can delay you, that can cause a lot of frustration that a little bit of trip planning or just a little bit of thinking ahead may save you.
Yes, I remember, not with this company, but when I first started driving, I was with them like my second or third month, and they gave me a load that I couldn't do. I didn't have the time. And dispatcher's going, no, you've got time. It's only so many miles. Well, they're looking at the miles that I'm getting paid, not the actual miles. And actually the routing, and I'm going, no, I gotta go through two cities, through rush hour. It might only be 45 miles, but it's gonna take me almost an hour and a half to get there, and I won't have the time to make it.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but yeah, you've dispatched, and you do trip, and you do planning now. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you've got some stories, some horror stories anyway.
No, I mean, to that point, there's definitely a big difference if you're going from, you know, like Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Indianapolis, where you got I-70, you know, connecting all the way across versus if you're on state highways or going through the city of Chicago, for example, which is typically a traffic nightmare. You know, so the time you can make is drastically different in all those scenarios.
Yeah, the drive time you've got left in a day, it compared to how many miles you got to go, could be the difference between several minutes or an hour or more, depending on the, like you said, the circumstance, the driving conditions, or the place you have to go to.
Yeah.
So I know one thing I always did, I started doing, so we used to have a directions book with Continental. Mm-hmm. We didn't have smartphones, we didn't have GPS, we didn't have any of this technology back when I started. I didn't even have a cell phone or anything. I had a map book and a directions book. And I would route myself through the main court, through the main freeway system to where I needed to get into the area, then I would use the direction book to get to the customer. And one thing I always did was, after a few months with the company and kind of getting it down, I said, well, I got a cell phone. I'm gonna call the customer. As I got directions, but they were 10-year-old directions, and I'd already had several times where they weren't right, where it said turn left instead of right, or turn left at the third light, but that was 10 years ago, and now there's five lights.
Yeah.
So I always would call the customer and confirm the directions and confirm if there was any construction in the area, any detours, if I could park there, if there was somewhere close by I could park, if not.
Yeah.
And I'd always give them an ETA and say, you know, I could be there like 2 p.m. Now, in reality, I could be there at like 12:30 or 1 o'clock p.m.
Yeah.
But I would always give myself a buffer.
Yeah.
And then when I showed up to the customer, well, you said you wouldn't be here till 2. Well, better early, you know.
Yep.
It always looked good. But this way, if, you know, if there was a backup or a problem or a concern, anything popped up out of the blue, I had a buffer.
Yeah. I think that's, you've kind of alluded to it, but I've always broke down like trip planning into kind of two different facets of it. You got the logs where you're trip planning out your 11-hour drive clock, your 14-hour day. Maybe you're going to plan your, I'm going to plan my half-hour break at this point in my drive across.
Yeah. Yep.
But then there's also like you were mentioning, the routing part of trip planning, where you're planning your route, what you're going to take, to plan the local part. Like, I know a lot of drivers today I talk to use Google Maps to pull up the satellite image, you know, of the receiver they're going into and say, okay, this is what it looks like. This is where the truck traffic is. And they're kind of, they're putting themselves visually getting in there, kind of looking at their entrance points before they show up and are trying to, you know, find their way around. You know, and I think that's a great tool that I know a lot of drivers use.
Yeah, I will say with the way that Continental does their loads, a lot of times the addresses they give you are like mailing addresses, not the actual truck entrance.
Yes.
So, you know, looking at the satellite either via the iPad through the Continental app or using Google Maps, that sort of thing allows you to see, oh, hey, I can't turn right here like the GPS says going to the mailing address. It looks like the route is actually on this road instead. I got to make sure that when I get there, I don't do that, because I've had to do turnarounds at 2 a.m. In a parking lot I probably shouldn't have fit in. Trying to turn back around down, you know, in some city because I took the mailing address off the GPS and not actually the actual physical truck entrance.
Yeah.
So that's
they route you to the employee entrance and it's for cars. And as I said, that's a lot of times I'll always call the customer ahead of time. And for one, hey, if I can get there before the appointment, hey, can you take me early? Is there parking on the premises? Is there parking somewhere nearby? How soon, if you can't take me early, how soon can I show up? I wanted to know all that stuff.
Yeah.
More times than not, if you're nice about it and you're professional, a lot of times if you've got like an 8 p.m. appointment, you say, hey, I can be there about 2, but would you guys like me there too? Well, come on in. That's, you know, and a lot of times they'll expect you at 2. I'll show up at 1, and they'll put you right in the door. And by 2-3 o'clock, you're unloaded, and you know it's just, and now you're ready to go on another run.
Mm-hmm.
There were times where I ran 3 and 4 extra runs in a week that they had me planned for.
Yeah,
because I just got so far ahead of myself.
Yep.
But it was all just, like I said, it was all time management, planning the routes, figuring out where I was going to stop, where I was going to fuel, eat, what time I could be there, and confirming it with the customer. And I was meticulous about it. Because there's nothing worse than running out the door at the last second, and then you catch a red light, and then you show up 5 minutes late, and then, we got to reschedule that for 24 hours later, and now you're stuck sitting at a truck stop waiting the next day.
I think a lot of that's the kind of stuff that's an advantage, you know, to Aaron, to you training, you know, now, because a lot of those little things people don't know when they're first starting. They want to just rely strictly on that GPS to take them someplace, and they can learn from your experience going through that parking lot and not hopefully they don't ever face that nightmare, because, you know, you're able to take them through that a little earlier. But
the GPS is sometimes may give bad stuff. I know Google Maps assumes you're in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to route you through trailer parks, through down residential streets. It's not routing you a semi route. So you really got to be very careful using Google Maps, which, like you said, using the overhead view of the satellite it is good, because then you can look at the road. You can see if it's a road that's passable for trucks. You can see where the place is. You know, like, what other things do you go over with your trainees and stuff as far as time management and trip planning?
Everybody's a little bit different on how they want to do things, but I generally would start with the end of the day. So, like, in the morning, I will know where I'm going to end up that night. Like, the best thing would be, because, as we know, truck stops are few and far in between, and so getting stuck somewhere where you don't have a good, safe place to stop the night for me was the worst part. So whether that's be figuring out if I could stay overnight at the distributor or shipper, that means if I knew, if I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia, which is notoriously terrible for not only traffic, but there's literally almost no parking, maybe 2 or 3 truck stops in the whole city that have like 20, 30 spots. It's not going to work. So I knew if I'm going to Forest Park, I know I need to make sure I've got enough time that I can get down to Jackson where there's 3 or 4 piles, 3 or 4 truck stops there. And even then, I know if I'm not going to get there till 9 or 10, that's going to be really short. So fortunately, like Flying J, I'll have points saved up on my card. I will get reserve parking. So I know I have a spot at that time.
That's a
really, I like to plan mine out to where I get, and where's the end of the day at? Where am I going to end up? Now, obviously, we sometimes don't know our loads for the whole day, you know, depending if we're leaving in the morning. But if we know, I'm picking up tomorrow in Streetsboro and I'm heading to Gaffney, I know, okay, well, I know I can stay in Gaffney because I got the yard there. I know this yard is this far away, or this drop lot is in Cincinnati. I know I can get there. So for me, a big part of it, I think one of the biggest frustrations, especially for new people, is where do I sleep? Like, where do I stop? Like that sort of thing, because they're not used to sleeping in a truck. You know, that's probably for me like one of the most important things to do at the beginning of the day, is to know where you're supposed to end up. Now, obviously, things will happen. You may not end up there, but at least having a plan gets you to a point where you don't have the anxiety or frustration of, you know, where am I going to park? Because parking on a parking on a ramp is not really recommended by Continental, but it's also just not safe overall because of traffic and just.
And in some states, it's illegal. So unless you're broke down, you'll get a ticket. So that's one of the biggest things I faced. It was when I did over the road and stuff. In planning, is where am I going to sleep? Like, you know, where am I going to eat? If the customer let me stay there, well, then I know I'm going to sleep there most likely. Mm-hmm. So I'll make sure I stop and fuel and shower and clean up and eat before I get there. Whereas if they say, well, no, you can't stay, but there's three truck stops within 2 miles, so once you're empty, you can go there. Okay, well, then I'm going to get there quicker.
Yeah.
And then when I'm empty, now I can go to the truck stops. And then I'll eat and shower and clean up and stuff. But so I would work whatever I would plan my schedule around whatever worked best for the customer, based on whether they could take me early or not, if I could get there early or not, or whatever.
Yeah.
My biggest thing was, don't waste time, get the job done, and then my 10-hour break is mine to do what I need to do. You know, and then whether I'm at the customers or whether I'm at the truck stop, as long as the job's done, then that's, you know, that monkey's off the back, off your back, you know.
And I think that's an important part of what we do in the office here, you know, for drivers out there on the road doing it, is I think we're aware of the difficulty finding parking and, you know, the lack of spots, especially the later you get into the evening, the less likely there is to find them. I think, you know, some of our, you know, senior drivers who've been around for years know a lot of the spots closest to our customers that we frequently deliver to. But there's also, whether younger, newer drivers or new customers we're delivering to, you know, hopefully helping to find those locations. You know, if they're having trouble, don't hesitate to ask in the office. And, you know, we have a computer sitting in front of us to help look for these places to park. And, you know, as to your point, Aaron, if that helps reduce some of the stress going down the road, that makes you a safer driver going down the road. We can relieve that pressure, you know, from you concerned about when you get there and where you're going to park. And
because that is a good point bringing up. If you've got a good trip plan set up and you've got a good plan in your head of how your day's going to go, where you're going to stop, you know, with the understanding that, not everything works out like you want it to. But if you've got a plan and you know where you're going and you've got it mapped out, you're going to be a lot more relaxed, a lot more calm. You can have a lot less anxiety, and you can be a lot safer out on the road too. So, you know, trip planning isn't just a smart thing to do for the job wise. It's also healthier for you. Yeah. You're safer, you're more calm. So you're going to be, you know, you're not getting frantic and spazzing out about, where am I going to park? Where am I going to go? Oh no, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Oh, I just made, you know, did I just make a wrong turn? Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked to so many drivers who've used the GPS or used Google Maps, and, well, I used my Google Maps and it took me down a wrong road, and then it put me on a road that said no trucks, and I got a ticket. I'm like, why'd you turn down that road? Well, Google Maps told me. Well, did you trip plan? Well, no, I just put the address in the Google Maps and just followed it. But why would? Well, you didn't trip plan. You didn't call the customer. You didn't set up your plan of attack. Yeah, you know, you just typed in an address and just relied on the technology without really knowing what you were doing and just flew by the seat of your pants. And it's a dangerous thing to do in a semi.
Yeah, so technology is definitely a blessing and a curse, I think, with stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the safety, you know, safety things have been added to trucks or good things and stuff, but eventually, unfortunately, people rely on too much as far, especially the GPS. So I always tell them it's a very, very educated suggestion.
Yes.
Like I said, I can list off the times in which the even the Continental, you know, GPS had me going down a road that had two big signs that say no trucks, weight limit 8,000 pounds. Like that was, you know, but they wouldn't turn there and stuff.
You're going to fall through a bridge just ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of thing. So, you know, it'd definitely be useful, like you said, looking at the GPS, looking at the satellite, knowing where we're going, getting some good ideas. But, you know, the GPS is, unless it's on a phone, unless you, you know, if you're using a Garmin or a, you know, Rand McNally, those won't have live traffic up.
Yeah,
you'll never, you know, you'll never know
you'll
when you're coming
know.
Up to something. So like I said, that's why it's always good to have, use it as a very, very educated suggestion. But, you know, the rules of the road are the rules of the road. I mean, I talked to a trooper about it. He goes, I'm sorry, if your GPS tells you turn down this road and you can't, that is not going to hold up in court. That's, you know, it's just going to, you know.
Your GPS isn't going to pay the ticket either.
Exactly. You're going to pay the ticket. So, so like I said, so GPS, obviously a very useful tool, but realize that it's a tool, is not,
it's
not the law. It's not,
you know, and honestly, as good as the technology is, I mean, all this stuff is working towards self-driving trucks and stuff someday. But you still have to drive the truck. You still have to control it. You still have to know where you're going. It's, even with all the technology, if you're going somewhere new, it's not a bad idea to get a map book out and plan your route and write it out. Because I've had plenty of times where, you know, I'm driving in the car and I got Google Maps up, or I got my navigation up on my screen in my car, my personal vehicle, and all of a sudden it has a glitch or something and reroutes you some way you don't even need to go. And then you're going, now, if you don't know where you're going, you're staring at that thing going, where's the blue line? Oh, I got to turn here with, you know. But if you trip planned and you wrote down your directions and you wrote down where you're stopping at, you got phone numbers, addresses wrote down, and you've got it on a little piece of paper, you know, sticky noted onto your dash or whatever. Worst case scenario, something happens, all your electronics go out, and you've got nothing. You've got your directions right there, you know. So
yeah, I think experience definitely helps in this sort of thing. Not only just from experience of just having to do it time after time, it's also just having experience going down the same roads. You know, you know, if you do similar routes and stuff, you know that I-70 is going to be construction from here to here sort of thing, so you got to plan accordingly to that.
Yeah.
You know, again, like I said, we talked about places to sleep and stop. You know, if you get to a certain city or a certain area, you know, these are the truck stops around that I know. Put them in your GPS. Like I said, take notes.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in stuff. Like I said, on my Rand McNally, I have that. I have every stop GPS'd. Every truck entrance GPS'd on it, so not just the address, but the actual entrance I've GPS'd on there. And then I put on there, yes, overnight parking. No overnight parking. Like putting stuff like that. Hey,
so when you go back to that, you're going that same route,
six
months down the road, I can park there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I used to do the same thing, only it was pre-technology. I had a mighty little notebook, and I'd write down the shipper and where, how to get there, where from wherever I was at, and the receiver, and how to get there, and then I'd write down the truck stops I was going to stop at, all the phone numbers, and you'd be driving down the road staring at that thing, looking, you know. But I mean, back then you had to use the map book, so you didn't have a thing saying, hey, in 23.5 miles you're going to turn left. No, you had to look on the map and figure out how far that road was and figure out the mile length of that road, and you know, there's a lot more analog to it, you know, a lot more pen and pencil. But having that something solid that, you know, like just even a quick just jot down of directions. What if you're driving down the road and you hit a pothole and your phone falls out of the holder and you can't reach it, and you know, and your tablet's resetting itself, and all of a sudden you're driving down the road and you know your turn's coming, but you don't know where you're going to go. It's still a good idea to have something to fall back on.
To that point, taking notes about, you know, the places you're going, that's Several drivers I dispatched, you know, 3 million safe mile driver, 2 million safe mile driver, mm-hmm. all did that. They yep. all took notes yep. about places they were going so they could recall best way to get in, best way to get out, yep. safe, you know. Because, you know, first time you're there, maybe you got there and it wasn't busy. Next time you're there, there might be traffic everywhere. There could be stuff going on, but yep. you have your notes kind of guiding you through to help recollect before you get there. And
yep, yeah. So, as far as time management, I mean, that's, some people are really good at it. Some people struggle at it. I mean, I'm one of those where I get up in the day, I want to go where I need to go and be done, and then the rest of the day is mine. I don't do a bunch of extra stops. I don't waste time or screw around. I stop. When I stop, I eat, I shower, I fuel, I do everything, and you know, I try to be as efficient as possible with my stops and to maximize my daytime, maximize my drive time. That'd be the best advice that I could give new drivers is, put the work in and then use free time to do what you need to do as far as, you know, if you want to play video games or eat, shower, whatever, you know. If you have to do that in route, do it efficiently. Bulk your stops. Maximize your stops.
That's kind of something I've talked to drivers, you know, over the years, kind of to be like the most profitable drivers I've seen financially is mm-hmm. when you have time to drive, like you're saying, you drive out that time. Yeah. You got miles in front of you and time to go, you want to go.
Yep.
You know, now, caveat to that is never sacrificing safety. You know, that's non-compromised.
Well, yeah.
If you need to stop and take a break, you know, for a couple hours, by all means, do that. But other than that, yeah, to be the most efficient, like you said, to get that time done while you can get it done, then take your time. And
yeah, I mean, safety is always going to be the top thing. There have been times, I mean, I've been out here doing this for over 19 years now. There's been times where I've been out in the middle of nowhere and my stomach hurts and I feel like I'm going to get sick and I got to pull over. It's like, you know, that's not a 2-second pull over and then jump back in and go. Yeah, you could be sitting.
Yeah.
There's times where I've had to pull over, stop and get out of the truck, for half an hour, 45 minutes and just, you know, hey, am I going to get sick? Am I not going to get sick? I mean, you know, you just don't know. But yeah, so safety is always going to be, I mean, there's times where I drive most of my day and I don't have to stop at all. There's other times where I'll stop 3 or 4 or 5 times to use a restroom, to wash up, whatever. I mean, it happens, it's just the nature of the one day to the next, you don't know. But
yep.
You get one of those things where you drive for an hour and a half and then you stop at a truck stop and then you're there for an hour or two and then you drive for an hour and a half and you stop at another truck stop and your day's coming to an end, you know, 8 hours after it could have, and you could have almost had another 10-hour break in and be ready to go, and you're just stopping. So it's, you know, you gotta maximize your time and try to be efficient. And then you have plenty of time to do the things you need to do.
Yeah, and when you do see that situation happens where, you know, there's a frequent stopping and you're losing your drive, at this point your 14's falling below your drive time, I mean, best case, you've just lost the ability to drive your time and it's cost you time and money a little bit, but worst case, you've put yourself in too big of a rush now trying to get into the receiver because you're pushed at appointment to the last minute,
and then
becomes a safety issue too.
And the thing, the reason I don't do that is I always think, okay, well, what happens if I get 20 miles from them and then I blow a flat and now I'm sidelined?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I could call them and go, hey, I broke down. I'll get there when I can get there, and they can go, okay, we'll reschedule you when you get here.
But
I've had times where I broke down, got fixed, still got the load delivered on time.
Mm-hmm.
The way I run now, I've had twice now where I've broke down to where the truck's not fixable. They have to bring me another truck. That both times that's taken north of 10 hours. So I'm sitting there on the side of the road, broke down for 10 hours. I got to switch everything from that truck into the other truck, and I've still got my load delivered on time. So I mean, yeah, you can get, if you can get way ahead of yourself sometimes, and it can be very beneficial. That's not always practical, and it's not, you can't always do that. But yeah. Like I said, I've had times where they had me planned on 5 or 6 runs for the week, and I got all of them done in half the week, and I ran 3-4 extra runs. That's hundreds and hundreds of more dollars on my paycheck that I wasn't even, they weren't even planning on giving me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a benefit that the newer drivers don't realize, is that the more efficient you are, the more money you make.
Yeah, that's,
you know, that's one of the reasons I enjoy trucking, is there's a very good correlation between how good and how hard you work
to how much you make.
Because when I hear guys, they only want to drive 1,100 miles or something, I'm thinking, like, I mean, I can do 2,500 in a week, no problems with it, as long as I'm thoroughly planning myself, you know, as far as 500 to 600 miles a day. I think my record, I think, was 651, I think, on my way to Utah one time, 651 miles in one day, and that's 10 hours, 15 minutes driving. Yeah, that was really tight.
You're staring at single digits, sweating, looking for a parking spot.
Trying to get to the truck stop that I had planned on. But I think it's one thing that you realize, that if you really take trip planning seriously, and really put the effort into it, and, you know, at night when you go, mm-hmm. you know, into your tent, plan the next morning, plan the next day out, plan your next stop, you will see direct benefits to your paycheck based on not only safety miles, but just, you know, you're not stopping to have an aisle and sit somewhere for a while. It could save you, get your fuel bonus. Like, there's a very direct correlation on mm-hmm. your efficiency of driving to your paycheck. And I think all of us would recommend, we'd probably get more money in our paycheck. We'd appreciate that. So,
as planners, we certainly recognize that. Drivers who are very efficient with their time and get more done, and we know on the longer, bigger plans, we can count on this driver to make this, to knock this drive out and to get there on time, you know. And
way I always look at it is, every time I pull out of my driveway, I'm not looking forward to picking up the load, deliver the load, or anything in between. I'm looking for, okay, what's the best way for me to get back into this driveway going in the other direction? If you're efficient with your time, if you trip plan properly, and you maintain your time management, you can maximize home time. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you rather spend 6-7 extra hours checking out truck stops and rest areas through the week when you could be driving, or would you rather spend 6 or 7 hours at home with your wife and kids, or your family, your loved ones? I mean, I that's how I've always looked at it. That's what is the most efficient, effective, best way for me to get back home where I want, you know, I'm pulling out of the driveway. How quick can I get pulled back in this driveway? And what's the best thing, way for me to do that? That's always been my motivation. And then that being said, safety is at the top of it, because I don't want to be coming in my driveway from the hospital, That's one thing I always looked at, is if I waste time out on the road when I'm at work to support my family, then I'm losing time. I could be at home enjoying my family, or them enjoying me. So that was always my mindset, how I just kind of looked at things, and that was my motivation to try to do things as effectively, as efficiently as possible. Like I said, it doesn't always work out like you plan. Everything could go wrong, but if you at least have a plan to fall back on, I always had trip plans, and like I said, you go to some places enough times over and over and over, you get comfortable with them, get familiar with them, you get to know them. You know, okay, well, the one time I was here, this happened, or this happened. I'd have contingent plans in place. I'd have, this is how I want the day to go. But if it doesn't go like this, I'd have I'll settle for this. And I'd have, you know.
Yeah.
So I would have, sometimes for one trip, you know, depending on where I was going and how familiar I was, I might have a trip plan and 2 contingents, you know. Yeah. But yeah, my whole motivation was I wanted to safely and efficiently get home, because any extra time, I wanted it to be in my driveway.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
We're all out here to do a job. We're all out here to do it safe, but we're all out here because we're trying to support our families. So the better you can do that, the more money you can make, the more time you can get home to get to your family. So that would be my closing thought on it. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I think just everything you kind of summed it up there when you said driving safely first and then efficiently ultimately leads to, like you said, you're making the most for your family to bring home, and it's also affecting that home time as well, which is, you know, that balanced life, and, you know, has you most the best ready for next week to tackle it again.
Yeah, I think one of the most useful tools is communication, talking with your dispatcher. There's been plenty of times in which I said, hey, I'm not sure I can make this, and they'll look at the on the logs, and or they'll check the GPS, like, yeah, you can, let's go ahead and route you this way, or, well, hey, we'll notify the shipper ahead of time and see if they can still take you. You know, I said it this week where we were trying to do some relaying, and I thought, hey, maybe we should try it this way just in case, you know, that way I could save some time driving, you know, that sort of stuff. And looked down like, yeah, let's go ahead and do that instead. So we switched up some loads and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think the dispatchers, obviously they're on our side. They're on the same side as us. They want to be able to get their loads on time. They want us to get as efficiently as possible. So communicating with them when anything happens, you're sitting on the interstate because of a wreck or something, call them, hey, I'm sitting here, I've been here for an hour, I don't know when I'm going to be done. That way they can plan ahead and
they
say,
they can relay it to the customer and work out.
So communication with your dispatcher is a very, very useful tool when it comes to the trips.
Very good point. That's a very good point.
Absolutely. I like exactly what you said there. We're on the same side. We want you to get the miles in drive. We want you to be on time and efficient and safe. And yeah, that's definitely the goal. And that's, you know, sometimes there are those tight plans where, like you're saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And it might be an I don't know. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But, you know, if everything was perfect, maybe. But I think that's the situations where, like you said, we can find relays or, you know, even worst case, if you're like on a load in the middle of nowhere, that's good. I know I can notify the customer, you know, of an ETA. And usually they're willing to work with us as well, worst case. But
yeah. Well, that wraps up our podcast on time management and trip planning.